The Kraft Music Hall, starring Don Ameche with Connie Boswell, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Music Maids, and Jerry Lester. Don's special guests for this evening include George Murphy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures.
George Murphy, my old roommate.
And Lawrence Melchior of the Metropolitan Opera Company.
Lawrence Melchior, my old roommate.
And Joan Bennett, co-star of the picture Manhunt.
Joan Bennett, my... Oh, my.
And here's Don Ameche.
Oh, there's a change in the weather, there's a change in the sea. From now on, there'll be a change in me. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Nothing about me's gonna be the same. I'm gonna change my way of living, and if that ain't enough, I'll even change the way I strut myself. 'Cause nobody wants you when you're old and gray. There'll be some changes made today. There'll be some changes made.
For there's a change in the weather, there's a change in the sea. From now on there'll be a change in me. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Nothing about me is gonna be.
I'm gonna change my way of living, and if that ain't enough, I'll even change the way I strut myself. 'Cause nobody wants you when you're old and gray. There'll be some changes made today. There'll be some changes
going, Don, and gee, there certainly have been some changes made.
You mean Jerry Lester's new suit?
A suit? Oh, so that's what it is.
Oh, now, Jerry, he's only kidding. I think it's a cute suit. It's too bad they didn't have your size.
Well, I'm sorry you don't like it, Don. I really needed some new clothes. Honestly, I used to look so shabby I was turned in twice to Bundles for Britain.
Well, now, Jer, I can't understand that. I rather like that blue serge suit you used to wear.
Oh, yeah, me too. But the seat was getting so shiny, every time I went out, I had to powder it.
I see.
Don't you really like this little creation, Don?
Well, maybe I'll get used to it when those gable shoulders start to sag. But, say, what's this extra button on the lapel?
Oh, that button's a new idea, Donzie. When your draft number is called, you press this button and the suit becomes a uniform.
Well, now, that's remarkable. How does it work?
Oh, don't ask me, but the government knows the secret.
I say, gee, I hope you didn't pay a lot of money for that dishcloth with pockets, because I know a place downtown where they have just what you like, and they're having a fire sale.
A fire sale? Who wants to buy a fire?
I don't know. You bought a false alarm.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm shrewd. You see, Trotter never wears his vests, so he gave me one of his old vests, and I had a suit made out of it.
Well, now, that was right nice of John Scott.
Sure, he gave me a pair of old trousers, too.
I see. What are you going to do with Trotter's trousers?
Make seat covers for my car.
Well, the reason I asked was because those are pretty high pants you're wearing. You know, Jerry, you're not George Raft.
Yeah, I know it, and so does Betty Grable.
Murder!
I wonder if she likes Raft because he's the only one who was ever outfitted from head to foot with just a pair of pants.
Tell me, isn't it uncomfortable wearing such high-waisted pants?
Well, a little. You know, these I'm wearing come up so high I have to stand on a chair to look over the top of them.
Well, then why did you have them made that way?
Well, I was undecided whether to take a business suit or a sports suit. But the salesman made up my mind for me. He gave me the business.
You must be a cinch for a clothing salesman, Jer. Ooh, I'd like to be on the selling floor of some large clothing house when you come in to buy a suit. Oh, boy. How do you do, sir? Can I interest you in something?
Yeah, the telephone number of that cute little sales girl.
Which cute little sales girl?
The one in men's garters.
Please, sir, now, just what kind of a suit would you like?
Well, I want something really sharp, you know?
Oh, we'll give you something so sharp it cuts the furniture. What are you prepared to spend, sir?
Well, money's no objection. I just came from a sports shop where I was looking at an imported Angora sweater you couldn't buy for $10,000.
How could even an imported Angora sweater be worth $10,000?
Lana Turner was in it.
I see. Now, what exactly did you come in here to buy?
Well, I was told you people carried pajamas with a built-in icebox for sleepwalkers who get hungry. Is that anything?
Yes, we have, and the Iceman comes daily to fill them for you. Now, could I interest you in a... Now, could I interest you in a nice tweed suit?
Say, look, Snorky, have you got one... I'm sorry, I used your maiden name. Have you got one with a money pocket that goes clear down below the knees?
What good's a money pocket that deep?
Well, by the time you reach way down and get your money out, someone else has paid the check.
I see. We could put such a pocket into any one of our special suits. With which, for today only, we're giving away several valuable articles of haberdashery.
Yeah? What?
A beautiful fall snap-brim hat.
Oh, no. No snap-brim hat for me.
Why not?
I had to get rid of my last one. It snapped to three people.
Well, then, we'd be glad to let you try on one of our new shirts, if your neck is clean.
Oh, gee, I'd love to, really. It might be fun trying on a shirt without taking out the pins.
Well, if you're anything like I am, when you're putting on a new shirt, you generally miss a few pins.
Yeah, that's what makes it so exciting. You never know where it's going to strike.
Now, tell me, are you going to buy a suit or aren't you?
Got anything cheap?
Now, listen, bud. Doesn't pay to buy cheap clothes. You know as well as I do. You wear a cheap pair of pants in the rain and you come home in a pair of breeches.
You're right. And speaking of breeches, I once wore a pair of cheap riding breeches in the rain, and when they shrunk, they nearly choked the horse.
Must have had a kind of a tough job getting you off that horse.
Tough? They had to drive the horse from under me with a croquet mallet.
Now listen, Bob, I've spent enough time on you. Just what kind of a suit do you want?
Well, sir, I want a fiddle and flute. That's the suit. That's sharp as a tack, neat as a pin, bright as a button, and hot as a $2 pistol.
I wouldn't know where to get such a suit.
Well, then follow me if you can, and I'll take you right to the spot, bub. Well, hiya, Connie. How'd you do? Hello.
Hiya, Jim. What do you know?
Well, everything but a place to go. Say, tell me, how's the band inside here?
Oh, don't get much of a ride here. Why? Do you know much about bands?
All. Is there much about them you understand?
What's left?
Well, then let me slip you a high quiz and test your heft. Now, suppose you were accumulating a group. What would be your instrumentation?
Now, that's a silly interrogation. I gotta have a piano for that ever-loving melody, Gabe.
Yeah, you do need that old 88.
And I gotta have them drums to give me that beat.
Got to have them skins solid complete. Now, how many brasses you figure will do?
Oh, about 172.
Well, tell me, ain't that too much brass, old girl?
Brother, there ain't too much brass in the whole darn world.
Sister, I like this world as you've outlined it. Can't be far. How do I find it?
If it's pleasure you're about, and you feel like stepping out, all you gotta shout is, let me off uptown.
Mellow territory, Gators. Mighty mellow.
If it's rhythm that you feel, then it's nothing to conceal. All you gotta spiel is, let me off uptown.
Oh, shoot the A-train to me, Mama.
Rib joy.
With that barbecue sauce?
Juke joy.
Well, Mr. Crosby's the boss.
Hep joint.
Well, of course.
Where could a fella go to top it?
Nowhere.
Where you wanna pitch a ball, and you can't afford a hall. All you gotta call is, let me off uptown.
Oh, grease the rails and send me sliding. When it's pleasure I'm about, and I feel like stepping out. What did you say I got to shout?
Let me off uptown.
That's it, that's what I meant. Now then, when it's rhythm that I feel, and that's the thing that I can't conceal. What did you say I got to spiel?
Let me off uptown.
Tell me up there, have they got any of those them rib joints?
Oh, hot groceries.
They got any of those juke joints?
Well, they play my records.
Solid, they got any hip joints?
Hip and happy.
Well, then tell me, where could a fella go to top it?
Stop it.
Oh, no, you can't stop now. I'm sailing. I'm flying and I'm ready. There's just one thing. Have you got a nickel for the ever-loving subway trip uptown?
Have I got a nickel? Brother, I not only got one nickel, I got two nickels.
Well, sister, you're loaded with that loving move. Let's go. Let's ride. Really, let's go and let's ride. Conductor!
Let us off our town.
Ah, that is swell, swell. And let me tell you this, whether they let you out uptown or downtown, in town or out of town, wherever you are, wherever you go, here's something you ought to know.
When thrifty homemakers shop at the grocery store, they consider food value as well as price. On both of these scores, the 2-pound Velveeta loaf is a real buy. It's a money saver, and that golden loaf is chuck full of important food values. For this delicious cheese food is rich in milk calcium, milk phosphorus, milk protein. It's an excellent food source of vitamins A and G. It's pasteurized and digestible as milk itself. Right here, homemakers, is your cue for nutritious, economical main dishes with a wonderful cheese goodness. Plan a meal around a Velveeta rarebit, smooth and gold and tempting. Make glorious cheese sauces the easy way with Velveeta, and serve them on eggs, seafood, and vegetables. Have a swell macaroni and Velveeta casserole. You'll be delighted to find how this cheese food can help the budget. And with the 2-pound Velveeta loaf on hand, you'll have plenty for snacks and sandwiches, too. So order this thrifty loaf tomorrow. Kraft's tempting, nutritious cheese food, Velveeta.
Ah, so pure, ah, so bright, burst her beauty on my sight. Oh, so mild, so divine, she beguiled this heart of mine. Wrapped of vain as she came, dark the future seemed to loom, till her clear brilliant sphere knew with life dispelled the gloom. Oh, she fled, quickly sped all my joy in fleeting gleam, as I worked, hope forsakes, robbing me of godlike dreams, of godlike dreams. Oh, ah, so pure, ah, so bright, burst her beauty on my sight. Oh, so mild, so divine, she beguiled this heart of mine.
Martha, 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 Martha.
Can't thou leave me thus forsaken? Come and share thy boons with me. Share thy boon with me, yeah, with me. Ah, so pure, ah, so bright, burst her beauty on my sight. Oh, so mild, so divine, she beguiled this heart of mine. Martha, Martha, thou hast taken every bliss away with thee. Canst thou leave me thus forsaken? Come and share thy boon with me. Share thy boon with me, yeah, with me. Share thy boon with me.
Oh, that is really, really grand, Connie. That is wonderful. The way you handled that aria from the opera, Martha, had George Murphy tapping his feet.
Yeah, and I bet we had our friend Lawrence Melchior tapping his head.
Oh, now, don't worry about Lawrence Melchior, Connie. He's on our team. And as for George Murphy, anything he wants to do in the way of tapping with those educated feet of his should certainly be okay with us.
Well, thanks, Don. It's nice of you to flatter my feet. Oh, say, that reminds me. I've got to step outside for a few minutes.
Why?
I want to phone my draft board that I have flatter feet.
No, I wouldn't do that, George. You might be held for non-support of your arches. But really, the way I've seen you dance convinces me there's nothing wrong with your dogs.
If you really approve so highly of my pups, Don, maybe I ought to wear open-toed shoes and win blue ribbons.
Well, how can you win blue ribbons with open-toed shoes?
The dog show.
All right, the dog show. Personally, being an admirer of your skill as a hooper, I hope you're doing some dancing in your new 20th Century Fox picture, Rise and Shine.
Yes, I do, Don. I do a couple of numbers, but mainly it's a football picture.
Oh, say, that's great. Are you the fiery young fullback who wins the big game by going in at the last minute to play to kick the winning dean? Or are you the pepper young grad who comes back to coach the old Alma mummy?
You mean Mammy.
No, no, George. Any team you coach would be a mummy.
Oh, now, hold on. Wait a minute, Don. I used to coach a football team.
Yeah?
The New Union Training School, yeah. And I'll never forget the last football game I ever coached. I can almost hear the whistle at the half calling the boys off the field. Yes, Don, I can see the Union Training team straggling towards the dressing room now in their Union suits. As the new Union Training School band marched onto the field and spelled out our initials, N-U-T-S. As the team neared the gym, the band completed its formation and broke briskly into our fight song. Yes, the boys were tired that day. They were very tired. They threw themselves exhausted on the concrete floor of the gymnasium. Hey, wait a minute. Somebody didn't sit down. Oh, yeah, it's okay. I let the team get its breath before I followed them in. I slammed the door. For a moment, they wouldn't face me. And I looked. Tears were in their eyes.
Oh, gee, Coach. On that last play, they ran in an onion for a ball.
Yeah, and their line kept shaking us off. They were using a conga line defense.
No need for excuses, men. You played a great game. Right now, you look like the greatest football club in the Poison Ivy League. You played the first half great, you hear me? Great. What if they have got us 85 to nothing? We haven't had the ball yet. Now you, Captain Amici. That was a beautiful catch you made. A beauty. Sensational. I mean that one you got on our own 5-yard line. Too bad you dropped it, lad. But don't worry about that. I'm writing the rules committee to ask if next season they can't put handles on the ball.
Oh, gee, Coach, the moon was in my eyes.
Yeah, I know, lad, I know. That's the trouble with these night games. Unless time out next half, men, they'll have to call this game on account of daylight. You there, Lester. You.
Yeah?
That 70-yard pass of yours is one of the finest things I've ever seen on a gridiron. Try it again next half, will you, bub?
Yeah.
Only this time, do me a favor. Throw it to one of our men. And Trotter. Trotter, lad. Tough you didn't score and you picked up that fumble. Nice run. Beautiful run. But next time, try running towards their goal.
Oh, gee, Coach, we did as well as we could with one man short.
What do you mean, one man short? Who's short?
Jerry Lester.
Well, sure, the only reason he's on the team is because he's short. Whenever anyone tries to tackle him, Lou, they fly right over his head.
Oh, I don't like the game. My folks make me play it because they think football is intellectual.
Intellectual? Why?
It's played by so many college men. And besides, they think the training will get me a movie contract like Harmon and Kimbrough.
Oh, fine, fine. Harmon and Kimbrough. What kind of a picture team is that?
Abbott and Costello with muscles.
Oh, that's funny.
Hold on there. Just a moment, Carpenter. Don't open your mouth like that during the game. You might swallow the ball.
Why, sure. That's the hidden ball play. My pop invented one. He used to play for Bale.
Bale? You mean Yale?
No, I mean Bale. Pop was on the squad at Sing Sing.
I see. Maybe you'd do better if the stripes were on you instead of on the field. Now then, Trotter, what was wrong with you, lad? Instead of making hash out of their line, they're making hamburger out of you.
I'm hungry, sir.
So's the whole team. Why, you pinball players can't even remember the signals.
Say, Coach, I got a friend who's a regular elephant at remembering signals, a bear at open field work, and a tiger on the defense.
How is he on the offense?
A skunk.
That's done it. Now, that's done it. You go to second squad. Captain Amici, maybe you'd like to explain to me why you didn't run with that ball when we had that chance to score.
Well, you see, Coach, just as I got the pass from center, the ball sprung a leak and all the air started to escape from it.
That's it, huh? So you just stood there and let the breeze cool you off as the air escaped from the ball.
Yeah, and I was left holding the bag.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't tough enough. The umpire penalizes 15 yards for hissing. Now let's get together next half, men. Let's get in there and fight. Use the plays I've taught you. Do the things I've told you to do. Because, well, why do you think the old school pays me good money? Why do you think they got me to coach you? Why do you think I'm here? What good am I? Don't answer that.
All right, gang. Let's get together now for dear old New Union Training School. Hup, hup.
On the field, we never yield. We're the team with all the steam. We are striving very hard, so we'll reach our goal.
four times while he held that note. Who is he?
That's Lawrence Melchior, the world's number one heroic Wagnerian tenor. We got him off the Metropolitan Opera stage.
Just in time, too. I understand it was ready to collapse.
Is this one of the quiz kits?
So you're Lawrence Melchior, eh? You're quite a robust kid. What? Where did that say with a bill like that we could fill up that hole at center?
Are you kidding? He could fill up the hole at center and have a backfield left over.
How much do you weigh, Melchior?
260 pounds.
That's done it. Let the squad go. We've got a new team. What do you usually play, Mel?
Oh, I played Siegmund, Siegfried, Lohengrin, Parsifal, Tannhäuser.
Uh-huh. Been mixed up with that Notre Dame crowd, huh?
Easy, easy, Murph. That's the lineup Lawrence Melchior sings at the Metropolitan Opera House. But if I'm not mistaken, Lawrence, you forgot to mention Tristan.
I'll bet he had him ringing in Tristan. Now then, Lawrence, I heard Don call you a heroic tenor. Just what's the technical difference between a heroic tenor and Kenny Baker?
I think being on the air every week with Fred Allen makes Kenny Baker heroic. But technically, most tenors have light voices, so the accompaniment has to be light. Heroic tenors have to outboom a 200-man orchestra.
Gee, I'd like to see a booming contest between Trotter and Melchior to see which is the biggest boom.
Well, that's what you'll hear as John Scott and the orchestra accompany Lawrence Melchior singing the beautiful Norwegian song, Jeg elsker deg, by Grieg. It's a love song.
Yes, it is a love song, but not a hot one. And may I add, the lyrics is by a fellow Dane, dear to all our hearts, Hans Christian Andersen, you know, with the fairy tales.
Tanke, tanke, fine du erhoben. Du mit die Erde höchste Quell. Jeg elsker deg som tingen på jorden. Jeg elsker deg, jeg elsker deg.
Magnificent, Lawrence.
I thank you, Don. And now I would like to congratulate the piano player in Mr. Trotter's band.
Well, that's Charles Levere.
He's the man who played the boogie-woogie piano last week when Connie Boswell sang boogie-woogie-piggy.
Probably brought back tender memories of an old jam session backstage at the Met, huh, Laurie?
Don't think we haven't had them at the Metropolitan.
Well, then it is certainly fortuitous that this should happen to be the Thursday. Charlie Levere lets us hear another of his own boogie-woogie compositions. This one is called Very Eight and Boogie, with Charlie opening up and John Scott Trotter and the group adding tone and depth to the work. Charles Levere. Thank you.
Charlie. And as one of our special guests this evening, in addition to your regular stint with the band, I think you're entitled to one of those large, amply filled baskets of groceries. Tell Charlie what those baskets contain, among other things.
Football days are here, and that means that many a homemaker must have her refrigerator well-stocked for after-the-game snacks. Now, we'd like to suggest that you keep Velveeta, Kraft's delicious cheese food, on hand for such occasions. It's swell for quick-toasted sandwiches. You just cut a thick slice of this golden cheese food and put it on toast and pop it in the broiler for 45 seconds. Presto, rich, mild Velveeta toasts to perfection. If you want those sandwiches to be a little more elaborate, just add a slice of tomato and a bit of crisp bacon. Mmm. And by the way, if your household includes some little future All-American quarterbacks, serve Velveeta regularly at family meals. For this cheese food is rich in important milk minerals that help build strong bones. Rich, too, in muscle-building protein. It's an excellent food source of vitamins A and G, and digestible as milk itself. Tomorrow, when you order the groceries, stock up on delicious Velveeta for the weekend. Get this cheese food with the rich, mild cheddar flavor that everybody loves. The 2-pound loaf or several of the half-pound packages. Remember, tempting Velveeta helps build strong Americans. Say, Professor Amici, would you be interested in putting a few paltry pennies into a poultry farm?
Why should I put money in a poultry farm? As long as you're around, it doesn't cost me a cent to hear a cluck.
Yeah. But Dr. Crosby was always interested in my proposition.
Well, then talk to Dr. Crosby about it. He'll be back here in the hall next Thursday.
Well, I most certainly will talk to Dr. Crosby next Thursday. But in the meantime, you wouldn't want him to outsmart you, would you, Professor Amici? I mean, now just think, what part of a chicken do you prefer?
The wing.
There you are, the wing. So, naturally, at your house, every time chicken is served, what part do they give you?
The neck.
As I thought, I come from a large family, too. But the reason you'll be particularly interested in this poultry farm is that we're breeding chickens with three wings.
Oh, three wings?
That's right.
Why, that's preposterous. Where would the third wing be?
Well, if you're lucky, it'll be on your plate.
No, I mean on the chicken. I just simply can't imagine three wings.
You can't? Really? Well, get this. Here they are, three wings. Well, Professor Amici, what's your answer about the chicken with the three wings?
It's still no, Carpenter. Talk to Dr. Crosby next Thursday.
I assure you I will, sir. But please, won't you reconsider?
Carpenter, I am no more interested in a chicken with three wings than I would be in a horse with six legs.
Ah, that's the item we have for Dr. Crosby.
No, Carpenter, please, don't tell me you also breed horses with six legs.
Why, sure, every one of our horses has six legs.
Oh, that's impossible.
Oh, yes? Well, now, get this. Now, there's nothing surprising about a horse with two hind legs, is there?
No.
And it's perfectly usual for a horse to have four legs.
Of course.
Well, two hind legs plus four legs makes six legs. I'll see you later.
Make us so late, I can't wait, will you, Carpenter? I have all I can do to keep me occupied with Kraft Music Hall matters involving important people like Joan Bennett, George Murphy, Lawrence Melchior, Jerry Lester, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, and Connie Boswell. In fact, here's Connie now. Shall we get out there in the rain, Connie?
I got my boots on, Don. I searched for love. I looked in vain. Then I found you in the rain.
The raindrops sang a sweet refrain. When I found you in the rain,
nearby with anxious eye, the raindrops drenched me through and through. You lifted your umbrella high and whispered shy, there's room for two.
My search for love was not in vain, for I found you in the rain.
stood nearby with anxious eye. The rain had drenched me through and through. You lifted your umbrella high and whispered shy, there's room for two.
My search for love was not in vain, for I found you in the rain.
That was swell, Connie. In fact, I might even put it the same way the movie critics did in commenting on Joan Bennett's performance in Manhunt. That would be, to coin a phrase, excellent. And if you miss Joan's fine work in Manhunt, you may see her soon in Twin Beds. That is the picture. And even sooner in the 20th Century Fox release, Confirm or Deny. We had a lot of fun making Confirm or Deny, didn't we, Joan?
Well, Don, I mean, I suppose if you look at it,
Joan, did you or didn't you have a lot of fun making the picture? Confirm or deny it?
Oh, sure, Jerry, and it was a wonderful part. But I keep looking forward to the day when I'll be able to play the part I've been anxious to play for a long, long time.
I know just how you feel, Joanie. I've turned down many a good part for similar reasons. Well, I even turned down the part of the man who came to dinner.
You didn't, Jerry?
Yeah, the food was no good.
Say, Joan, tell me, what is this part you've always wanted to play?
I'd like to be one of those efficient career women in a big department store's shopper service bureau. I've always been thrilled by the atmosphere of a department store. People rushing hither and yon, the customers hithering and the salespeople yawning. I've always loved the congenial, friendly conversation of lady shoppers chatting over the bargain counter. The contented, carefree stride of husbands happily following their wives about on a shopping tour. The approving comment of the men shoppers watching attractive sales girls display their merchandise. And I'd like to be in the middle of all that, conducting the shopper service, answering questions for our telephone customers with a polite, "Hello? Yes, this is the shopping service. No, madam, we haven't had any for a long time. Goodbye."
Miss Bennett, as manager of the store, I'd like to know just what kind of salesmanship you call that. Did I just overhear you say to one of our customers, "We haven't had any for a long time"?
You did, Mr. Amici.
Miss Bennett, we have everything in this store. Everything. And what we haven't got in the store, we've got in our warehouse. Do you understand?
I understand, Mr. Amici.
Now, just what was it you told the customer we haven't had for a long time?
Snow.
I'll order some right... Miss Bennett, please don't irk me. I'm here to see that everything goes all right in this department.
Oh, you'd be surprised how well everything is going. And if the store detective doesn't catch that shoplifter pretty soon, everything will be gone.
The store detective happens to be very efficient, Miss Bennett. Only yesterday he caught the biggest department store crook in town.
Really? Who was it?
The guy that owns this store. And by the way, have you seen the cashier?
No, he's gone to the races.
The cashier has gone to the races during business hours?
He said it was his last chance to make the books balance.
Here comes a shopper, Miss Bennett. Please see that he gets every attention.
Good afternoon, sir. What can I do for you?
I'm always having trouble getting fitted, ma'am. I was told you all carry large sizes. Do you all have anything ready-made that would fit me all?
Oh, indeed. Second floor. Handkerchiefs and umbrellas.
I thank you, ma'am.
I have a complaint to make, miss. I bought these shoes here yesterday, and today I just had to bring them back. They're too narrow and too pointed.
Oh, but they're wearing narrow-pointed shoes this season.
Well, maybe, but I'm still wearing last season's feet.
The foot comfort department is on the second floor. I'm sure they'll be glad to fix your feet so they fit the shoes.
Pardon me. I've been saving my pennies for years and years. Did you ever see so many Indian pennies? I've got to be very careful how I spend these lovely Indian pennies.
Ooh! Ow!
I'm sorry. You'll have to stop pinching those pennies.
Yeah, I will, if you'll suggest something I can buy for my girl.
How would she like something in the way of a necklace?
Oh, she'd like it all right, but who'd see it underneath her beard?
Well, if you're in love with a bearded lady, how about a nice shaving set?
Oh, I got her one last year. She's a doll. She eats the shaving cream. Maybe I better take care of my men friends first. Let me have a double duty hat.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have such a thing. Why does it have to be a double duty hat?
It's for a man with two heads.
My... What charming friends you have.
Yeah, they're from the Hollywood Picture Colony.
The Picture Colony?
Uh-huh. They model at Disney's. Of course... Of course I know a great many of the other stars, too. Why, just last night I was out with Greta Garbo. We had an old-fashioned date. We drove through Griffith Park in a Victoria and dined at a restaurant just like Delmonico's.
I suppose you drank champagne from Garbo's slipper.
No, I drank carrot juice from her sneaker.
What happened?
I nearly drowned.
Well, it's been nice having this little chat with you,
The boys in the detention ward call me Napoleon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bonaparte. Next case, please.
How do you do? I'd like to get some information about gloves.
What kind? Kid?
Oh, if you feel that way, babe, forget the gloves.
Let's cook it for tonight.
I'm going to the Legion Stadium to watch my boyfriend box.
Oh, he boxes and you rap. Some gag, eh? Now I can suggest something. Could you suggest something for the dearest, sweetest girl in all the world?
Well, what is she like?
Bubble gum.
Oh, we have just the thing. Our crunchy bubble gum is the most popular gum in the city.
Really? In all the stores?
No, on all the sidewalks. You can buy it at the counter 2 aisles over for 5 cents a pack or 3 aisles over for 10 cents a pack.
What's the difference?
None. The 10-cent packs are for Hollywood show-offs. Is there anything else?
Yes, there is. How much are your kisses?
The candy counter is 2 aisles over.
Oh, who wants candy? Are you afraid to meet me face to face?
Any day but Halloween. And if you keep on asking for kisses, I'll call the manager.
What for? I don't want to kiss him. Oh, come on, baby. Loosen up and give.
I will. There.
Well, sir, did you get what you were looking for?
He got it all right.
Why? The man's unconscious. Miss Bennett, how many times must you be warned about dropping things on the floor?
I'm sorry, Mr. Meachie. It won't happen again.
It certainly won't. I'm transferring you to the music department immediately.
What's going on over there?
Miss Boswell's demonstrating a new Mexican importation, Popocatapetl.
Popo what a petal? How do you spell it?
P-O-P-O, catapetl.
Oh, gee. I didn't think you could spell it.
Popocatapetl, Popocatapetl, mouse in a flame. Popocatapetl, Popocatapetl, tell me her name. You and the moon watched discreetly. That night she whispered so sweetly, meet me. Popocatapetl, Popocatapetl, will she return? Popocatapetl, Popocatapetl, when will I learn? Am I left waiting as you were for her? Popocatapetl, Popocatapetl, sleeping flame of love.
Volcano of the same name.
That's right, Dom. Dom in Mexico. Ever been there?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if our friend Lawrence Melchior, the Metropolitan Opera, had been down there on a hunting trip. You're still making those hunting trips, aren't you, Lawrence?
Oh, every chance I get, Don. Just recently, I took a trip to North Dakota, gunning for ducks, rabbits, and deer. I brought along all my equipment and half a dozen ducks.
Well, did you shoot anything?
Oh, yes. Two ducks.
You're going to have a hard time convincing us of that, Lawrence. According to the magazine Time, you like to go up to New Brunswick to shoot bear.
Shoot bear? Oh, no, not in New Brunswick. It's too cold to shoot bear there.
No, no fooling, Lawrence. You did get a bear, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I had it dressed and smoked and brought the meat back to my New York apartment. But I'm afraid the desk clerk didn't like it.
Then why didn't you let him eat something else?
No, no, John. I meant he didn't like me having the bear meat around the hotel. There wasn't enough room in the refrigerator, so I had to hang it out of the window.
Fine place to stash the hash.
Bringing home things like bear meat must be rather surprising to your wife.
No, the things I do never surprise my wife. And the things she does never surprise me. Not after the way I first met her.
I suppose the way all of us first met the woman we married seems kind of surprising when we look back on it.
I don't know about you, Don, but my wife dropped into my garden in a parachute.
I thought the stork had a monopoly on that kind of service. Imagine getting a wife by parachute.
Oh, of course, it wasn't her idea, Jared. She was making a movie.
Well, they make thousands of movies in my neighborhood, but nothing ever lands in my garden but the ashes from my neighbor's incinerator.
Well, why don't you ask Lawrence what kind of bait he uses, Jerry? But not until after we hear him sing a song that is especially appropriate any time he visits the Old Craft Music Hall. There Shall Be Music When You Come by Walter Bronson. Lawrence Melchior. Melchior. That was a honey.
Well, then, this must be the land of Melchior and honey.
Thank you, gentlemen. Especially you, Jerry. There's something about you that interests me.
Yeah?
Definitely. What are you planning to do when you grow up?
I don't want to grow up and have to pay full price at the movies.
Yeah, that's right, Lawrence. Why, Jerry actually has his pants made with leather knee pads so he won't wear them out playing marbles.
Sure, I love marbles. Like Venus de Milo.
I said it, and I'm glad.
Don't try and gag your way out of it, Jerry. I saw you in that big cowboy hat. On you, it looked like a tent with a brim.
Oh, I have to wear a big hat, Don, to carry my sandwiches in.
Why don't you carry your sandwiches in your pocket?
That's where I carry my oranges.
Must take an orchard worker to pick your pockets, huh? But don't oranges make your pockets kind of bulge, Jerry?
No. I design all my suits myself. I have a lot of swell mechanical features like my new no-spot vest.
What do you mean, no-spot?
Well, when you spill gravy on it, you just pull it down to a clean place like a roller towel.
I see. It's too bad you didn't invent some loud ties to go with your face.
Say, did you hear? This year, all the loud Christmas ties will have a label saying, guaranteed not to wrinkle, even if used to strangle the person who gave it to you.
Don, I think the thing that would make Jerry happy would be a Superman outfit.
Oh, I had one, but it was a little loose around the muscles.
Who ever heard of a midget Superman?
Well, the suit was a fake anyway. I almost knocked my brains out trying to dive through a brick wall.
Honestly, Jerry, where do you get the fantastic ideas you seem to have about clothes?
Tell Joan about that purple jacket and yellow pants outfit you have, Jerry.
Oh, you mean the one with the boxing gloves to match?
Why are the boxing gloves?
Oh, when you wear a purple jacket and yellow pants, you need boxing gloves.
You see, Joan, the secret is that Jerry can be high-pressured into buying anything.
Oh, don't say that, Don. I wasn't exactly, you know, high-pressured into buying that suit. All they did when I was trying it on was to pour acid on my old one.
Jerry, don't let them kid you. Don't let them kid you. Being well-dressed is important. I suppose you read Esquire magazine.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's perf, Murph. I read Esquire from uncover to uncover.
Now, there's a petty remark.
Solid.
But I suppose you also follow the pictures on the trend in men's fashions.
Oh, does Esquire have pictures of men's fashions, too? Boy, I wish I'd known that before I bought my genuine camel's hair coat.
What makes you think it's genuine camel's hair?
It still has an Arab on its back.
One thing I will say for your wardrobe, Jerry, you really have a swell pair of shoes.
Oh, how right you are, Donzo. These shoes are so expensive that out on the street they stick their tongues out at other people's shoes.
You buy all your clothes in such an expensive shop, Jerry?
Oh, sure. And they know me. Why, when I came into the shop the other day, the salesman came up to me and said, "Aren't you Jer Les?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Big spesh in base on clo."
Well, why did he talk like that?
The sale was on shorts.
Tell me, Jerry, isn't a Beau Brummel like you affected by the shortage of silk?
Nah, buy American. I wear rayon.
Yeah, wonderful fabric, isn't it? Marvelous how they can make that rayon out of fiber from trees.
Fiber from trees?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder every morning when I wake up, the birds are singing in my socks.
Why don't you ever wear wool?
Oh, I used to. In fact, I was such a black sheep, I grew my own wool.
And speaking of sheep, bleat it, Jer. While Connie sings Shepherd Serenade.
La-da-da-dum-da-dum. I heard a lonely shepherd play. La-da-da-dum-da-dum. It was a haunting melody. La-da-da-dum-da-dum. I heard the music clearly saying, la-da-da-dum-da-dum, that he was happy as could be. He played and he played. The world was forgotten, like castles in air. My every care began to fade. La da da dum da da. If I would only play forever. La da da dum da da. His little shepherd serenade. I heard a lonely shepherd play. It It was a haunting melody. I heard the music clearly saying, that he was happy as could be. He played and he played. The world was forgotten, like castles in air, my every care began to fade. La da da da. If he would only play forever, la da da da, his little shepherd serenade.
Delightful, Connie, as always. A very special kind of serenade. And here is something that is, in its own way, another type of serenade.
Harvest time is time for lots of good vegetables. And here's a way to add extra zest to cauliflower, cabbage, string beans, spinach, grilled tomatoes, fried eggplant, and stuffed green peppers. Serve any of these fine fall vegetables with a rich golden cheese sauce made the easy way with Velveeta. You make the sauce like this. In the top of a double boiler, melt 1/2 pound of this famous cheese food from Kraft, and then stir in 1/3 cup of milk. Your cheese sauce is ready, rich, golden, and wonderfully nutritious. Now, of course, you can't be sure that just any cheese will do this double boiler trick. Depend on smooth-melting Velveeta for a perfect sauce every time. Why not try that easy recipe for one of Friday's meals? Get Velveeta tomorrow, the half-pound package, or the thrifty 2-pound loaf that gives you plenty for tempting snacks, too.
I dream the whole night through, each night till I hear reveille. I dream, my dear, of you. I have your face before me. The moment's we're apart, come taps till I hear reveille. I dream of you, sweetheart.
Come taps.
room for this evening in the Old Craft Music Hall, except, of course, to thank Joan Bennett, George Murphy, and Lawrence Melchior for being with us. And I'd like to take another moment to thank John Scott Trotter, Connie Boswell, the Music Maids, Ken Carpenter, and last but by no means least, Jerry Lester, for all their wonderful cooperation in helping me keep the Old Craft Music Hall in running order for Bing Crosby. And I want to join them and you in welcoming Bing back next Thursday. Bing is going to have as his special guests Reza Stevens of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and the Metropolitan Opera Company, William Frawley, one of Bing's special pals, and Warner Baxter. So, although Bing will be taking over the Old Craft Music Hall next Thursday, I'll be with you in spirit, as we must all be together in spirit, for these are times when, as Sophocles said, men of perverse opinion do not know the excellence of what is in their hands till someone dashes it from them. So let's not let anyone, anywhere, dash from us our ideal of one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Good night.
The Kraft Music Hall comes to you from Hollywood's Radio City.
When the clock strikes six, do you have to sometimes hurry like mad to get dinner ready on time? Well, what you need is a package of the product called Kraft Dinner, ready on your pantry shelf. With Kraft Dinner, you make delicious macaroni and cheese in just 7 minutes cooking time. Yes, ma'am, it's fluffy, tender macaroni, drenched in cheese goodness. Wonderful for luncheon, too, so be ready for hurry-up meals. Stock up tomorrow on Kraft Dinner. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.